The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. And friends, what a Tuesday it is. We once again want to remind you, go vote if you haven't, especially in those swing states like Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, many of those states that are out there, Wisconsin, and we have a lot of stations in those areas. And so we just want to encourage you all, get out and vote. Don't think your vote doesn't matter, because it does. And so I just want to encourage everybody to vote here on this Election Tuesday. Joining me today, special guest and featured speaker here on Sunday, Shannon Skolton with Voice of Truth. Hi, and welcome, Shannon.
Thank you for having me on again, Mike, on such an important day nonetheless.
It is an important day, and I think America's deciding, are we going to go communistic today, or are we going to remain red, white, and blue to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? What do you think?
You know, I'm hoping that there is a red wave, as everyone is predicting. I was looking at Victor Marx, has ATP Ministries, his YouTube and Facebook page, and there's a map on there with almost the entire United States red, except for, of course, California, Oregon, Washington, and a few others.
They like Illinois. Their cities burning.
Yeah, they do.
How do you like your city? Oh, medium well.
And coming to a and coming to a city near you. Forever fire pits and roasting of marshmallows, but from your home, because it's on fire. That's essentially what's happening. They say that the Norpoth model will have Donald Trump at 362 to Biden's 176. So hopefully that is what we see. But honestly, Mike, I doubt we're going to have those numbers in today, because so many states are saying they're just not going to count ballots today. And that's that. And the Supreme Court of those states have said that's fine.
Yeah, you know, and what's so weird is, you know, we've been having elections for over 200 years, and we always seem to know. But in this age of advanced technology, we can't count anymore.
We can't get it
right. Yeah, the dumbing down of America has finally met the electorate.
Maybe it's common core math that has caused the problem.
That's what it is.
It's something.
2 and 2 is 12.
That's what I hear lately.
Yeah.
Well, right now, as we're on air, I know that there's a ton of election coverage happening from the Daily Wire and Fox, and I'm sure everyone's going to be tuning into their radio and watching TV at the same time, so hopefully we'll have some updates for everybody this program.
Yeah, we'll do our very best to bring you whatever we can, and again, it is really tragic that that they want to try their best to cheat their way in. And again, I have no trouble with showing your ID, getting a ballot, and voting. What I do have trouble with is everybody getting a ballot sent to them like it's a national clearinghouse or whatever it is, and you just get this in the mail, and you know, it's just crazy.
Publisher's clearinghouse. I wish we ran money, won money at the end of this election.
Well, it depends. But if you're running a precinct in Texas, we actually put up a video where the lady is making money on the election.
She is
selling ballots.
She is.
That's right. Just think, your ballot is for sale. Between $5 and $8, she said she makes roughly about $50,000+ in selling these ballots, and she says guaranteed to be enough to move the county in the direction that the person paying wants it to go.
Look that up. It's Project Veritas. We did post it on Tevye Man Answers Facebook.
So
you can find it there.
People need to, people need to really take a look at that, because this is not made up. You can actually watch the video cameras, hidden cameras, as the person is bragging about all this money that they're making by selling votes, some 5,000 votes. And so really some really insane, corrupt stuff. But I think this is what all this is about, because again, You know, it was Joe Stalin.
Same person, but okay.
Joseph Stalin, the leader of the overthrow of Russia, the head of the Communist Party, said it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes. And that's why you're not getting the results today from so many states.
There's a couple things that everyone who's listening needs to understand is that this is not red against blue. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is not a country divided by what we would consider normal ideologies in government or thoughts or ways that we want to run the country. This is strictly socialist ideologies versus the betterment of our democratic republic. This is two very different ways of running or, quote, destroying a country with socialism versus the democracy, the republic democracy that we have. And Kamala made it very apparent in her little cartoon. I know that I sent that to you the other day. Did you listen to the whole thing?
Yes,
and made it very apparent on what their plan is.
Yeah, they're going to bust everybody down to nothing. This is their idea. In fact, I think we have that queued up.
We do have a clip.
We ought to play it. So those that are watching us, you can see it. Those that are listening, you can hear it right now. But it's all about the beautiful communist plan of Kamala Harris, who will be, by the way, I bet you anything you want to bet, will be president, because they'll just simply declare old Joe incompetent and they'll just turn him out to pasture. And Kamala, this communist, will be your next president. America, wake up, smell the coffee, and listen to what she has to say. Play the tape.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still going to be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Ain't that enough to give you indigestion? That's right. Hey.
You know, it sounds so wonderful.
It sounds wonderful, but now how do we get to this same footing? This is the thing that she, of course, doesn't go into detail about, but this is where the devil lies. Because if we're all going to start on the same footing, that means all of you that have anything, it has to be taken away from you to make the footing the same. Oh,
I have
tell
a lot
us about
to say,
it.
But I'm going to get on my soapbox. But the actual cartoon itself shows a darker skinned cartoon person being held down by this lighter skinned cartoon person being propelled forward, climbing this mountain and getting to the top of the mountain before they do. So if that doesn't tell you enough, I don't know how much clearer they can make it. But the whole premise of equity versus equality is disgusting in a sense. Exactly, you're right. You have to destroy the freedom of commerce and our democratic republic completely. Destroy it, not just dismantle it, destroy it in order
all
for
businesses,
this to work.
All businesses.
Everything
has
gone
to be taken over by the government.
And here's the premise of this. So everything's taken over by the government. Everything is run by the government, including schools, education, healthcare, all of those different things. So how do we all get to the same playing field? Well, that white picket fence you have and that beautiful house and that dog and the 2.5 children you have, that all goes away because you are better off than your neighbor. That bank account that you have that maybe has six figures or seven or even maybe five is taken away because you have a better opportunity at succeeding in life than your neighbor. So we have to level the playing field. You can't have a better opportunity than anybody else.
A nicer house.
But even if you're more intelligent, even if you work harder, even if someone leaves you money and gives you a leg up from a dowry, or
even if you spent 10 years in college to be a neurosurgeon. Doesn't make any difference.
No difference. So here's the thing. So the whole idea that everybody can be on an equal playing field is disgusting and just wrong. So if everyone starts out the same, then everyone ends the same, which is what she was trying to say in this completely communist propaganda video that she put out yesterday. If you end in the same place, Mike, tell me, who's going to build our bridges? Who's going to fix, you know, or give you an appendectomy when you need one as a doctor? Who is going to be in government and be more intelligent to run legislature? Who's going to have our best interest at heart when it comes to, you know, the freedom of press and being literate enough to write in a newspaper? There's, if it's all even and everybody's the same, how does that work?
Well, see, the person that was flipping burgers yesterday is now your neurosurgeon. That's great. Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Just pop the top and dump in the...
Or here's the other premise. You're more intelligent. You're way brighter. Yet you're going to get paid the same as a McDonald's employee because that's socialist. So you're going to work for the government. You're going to work in medicine. You're going to do tons of years of schooling. You're going to slave away. And you're going to make $15.95 an hour. Sounds like a life I want to live.
Yeah. Go to school for 15 years and make
save lives and make no money.
Yeah, that's right. Well, see, that's the new beautiful communist America. America's deciding on today. Now, what kind of a person really is Kamala Harris? Well, we want to know, is she really an honest person or not? Now, during the first debate, when she was debating Joe Biden, she said that he was a womanizing racist. Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's what she called him. Do we have that tape ready to go?
Play the tape from
Colbert interviewing Kamala Harris concerning the debate.
How do you go from being such a passionate opponent on such bedrock principles for you, and now you guys seem to be pals?
It was a debate.
Not everybody landed punches like you did, though.
It was a debate.
So you don't mean it.
It was a debate. The whole reason, literally, it was a debate.
This woman's nuts.
The jackal cackle.
She was basically saying, I'm lying through my teeth because it was just the debate. You know, anybody that would lie like that and laugh like you're insane doesn't need to be vice president. They need to be committed to an institution, friends. Can we play that again? It is so... Listen.
Sorry, everyone. We're going to torch you one more time.
Well, no. Listen to the vocal tone. If Biden gets elected, she's going to be president.
From being such a passionate opponent on such bedrock principles for you, and now you guys seem to be pals.
It was a debate.
Not everybody
sick.
Landed punches like you did, though.
It was a debate.
So you don't mean it.
It was a debate.
So you don't mean it.
The whole reason, literally, it was a debate.
You know, Mike.
That's disgraceful.
It's sick.
That is disgraceful.
And did we set up the fact that Colbert is so left, like the epitome of a left-wing TV media nut, that he was even pointing out how she was double-tongued in what she was standing for now versus what she debated on previously? That who is this woman? Well, that's the premise of communism. They sell you this dream. They sell you this utopia, and it's going to all be wonderful. We're going to take care of each other in this commune, and then they come and kill you and shoot you and take your guns and take your children from you and indoctrinate them, and there you go. You turn into Venezuela or Cuba.
Yeah, vote for me. Everything is free, except nothing is. It's all a lie. And everywhere Kamala Harris's communism is gone, looks like Cuba or Venezuela or Red China or Russia. It's sad when you really realize how far gone these people are. But there's a far greater problem that we have with this whole thing, and that is their denial of God, because the state is God.
Mm.
And that's why evolution and communism go hand in hand, because you're just the fall of sludge. Lightning hit a swamp, here you are. You're just the worker bee, get in line. Now, you think these people... Now, listen, America, listen, please. You that are... maybe don't work. Maybe you've been out of work so long you don't even want to go back to work. When the new beautiful communistic takes over, you're the first to go. because you're a non-productive member. You mm-hmm. are leeching off of those who want to climb the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So they get rid of you. You're offed. You don't seem to understand that. They're promising you a utopia. Vote for me, everything is free. But in reality, you're a leech to society and you will be neutralized. It's the way it always is. Why do you think they invented COVID-19 in China? You see, they don't want old people with preconditions on their roster, on their payroll. They've served their purpose, but now it's time to go do your civic duty and die. And so COVID-19, what an interesting disease this is. Man-made, that's why it's so hard to make a vaccine for it. But imagine what a dream for the Communist Party of COVID-19. Gets rid of all the old people, all the weak people, all the people that are no longer contributing to the communal life of people climbing to the top. All gone. So imagine a disease that in itself is not really detrimental. They say that less than 10,000 people in America have died of COVID. That's right. But when you add COVID with any other disease, whether it be diabetes, pneumonia, other forms of cancer, whatever it might be, it's lethal. It's the beautiful communistic disease. Yes, China invented it for the world because, you see, primarily for their country. And what a beautiful thing it was for them. Gets rid of all the old, gets rid of all the sick. And, you know, it's really weird. Have you noticed how they say it doesn't affect children? And really, yes, there's a few people that are in their 20s and 30s that it affects, but those have preconditions. It gets rid of all the weak, all those that can't work for the beautiful communal society. Crazy stuff.
Here's the sad thing. Shannon's going to get on her soapbox again.
You can do that.
Last night, I was listening to Michael Savage, and got to give credit where credit's due, so I have to say that I was listening to his program, whether people like him or not, and he said he was going to give 10 reasons why people should not vote Biden. Now, the previous program he did on Friday was 10 reasons why people should vote Trump, and I highly suggest everyone listen to that because it literally sounds like a non-Christian version of Mike Kessler. It was a great, great radio program, but he said the 10 reasons why people should not vote Joe Biden were Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, count all the way to 10, that was the number one reason we shouldn't vote Joe Biden. Now, why is that? And his words were, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this, if you're an angry white woman who has this feminist ideology that women deserve the seat that they deserve in government for whatever reason that is, regardless if they say they want it to not be based on color, or they don't want it to be based on ethnic background, or they don't want it to be based on the fact that they're female and someone else is a male. It's a lie, because that's exactly what the feminist movement is to perpetuate women above men, but nonetheless to perpetuate culture and color above white people. And if you're an angry white woman, because if you look at Antifa and you look at Black Lives Matter, the group, that not the premise of the ideology that Black Lives Matter, but the actual Marxist group, exactly, it's a bunch of white women. It's a bunch of white rejects. I'm sorry to say that, everybody, who are sitting there fighting for social justice. And if that is you, and if you are vehemently opposed to Trump because white man bad, orange man bad, Joe Biden good, Kamala Harris good, you're literally taking a knife and stabbing it in the back of your daughter and your son for their future. Because you have such a sick and twisted ideology, a thought process, a premise of what you think the country should be ran on, and what you think is truly right versus what is truly wrong, that your truth needs to be, you need to understand that truth is not relative, that truth is truth and a lie is a lie. And when you build a country off of these sick, twisted, demonic, skewed principles, you are literally tying the hands of your children behind their back and executing them. And those were really strong words for him to say. But we understand why, Mike, because that's what communism is. It stifles the voice of those who need and deserve to be heard. And it causes complete destruction to the economy and to the people, to the point of death. And so everybody needs to understand that this is a matter of life and death. This isn't a matter of just red and blue, or that we want to have
it's
our...
It's right and wrong. It's what it is.
Yeah, it's life and death. It's right and wrong. It's your entire culture and the way that you grew up and the premises that you've built your life on, gone, destroyed. Forget the future of your kids. Forget the future of your grandkids. It'll be game over, and it'll happen quick. And he even said exactly what Kessler has said on this program multiple times before, just wait to see what the next 6 months brings. Because it's not going to be pretty either way.
No, I think we're in for some real, real trouble. And I pray that all of you, you know, being about your father's business, you know, I realize this is a little bit different today. I think tomorrow will be a much different program again, because we'll focus back on so many of the issues that really we love to do here with Every Man an Answer on the Bible and witnessing and all these things. But see, we're at a crossroads in our nation. And whether we're going to have the freedom to preach the gospel as we've all enjoyed for so many years, whether we're going, because the Communist Party does not tolerate faith. They do not tolerate religion, because the state is now your religion. The government is now your God. And this is why we have to be very, very careful in understanding what they're really up to. Everywhere communism is gone, tyranny reigns supreme. And this is why people risk their lives to get out of these communist countries, whatever it takes. Little boats leaving Cuba. Most of them, a lot of them, never make it to Florida. Anything they can do to get out of away from a communist dictatorship. Old Bernie Sanders repaints the picture how wonderful Cuba is. No, it's not. It's a disaster. Everybody that comes from there, everybody that they interview, little Cuba in southern Florida, they'll tell you the same thing. It is just a place of total dictatorship. But this is the way it works. There's no free elections in Russia. You wonder how Putin remains where he's at all these times? It's because there's no real election. They want to take that away. Communism is the only government you vote in and you have to shoot your way out of.
That is the truth.
Because it is that diabolical. This is why, America, listen. They want to take away your guns. Because they know that nobody in their right mind would live under communism if you had a weapon to fight your way out of it. So government, communist governments prefer unarmed peasants. And that's what we'll be depending today. If you're in a swing state, again, primarily Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, those states, please go vote. There's still time. And don't let these people get away with this stuff. What's amazing is they said a lot of states aren't even going to tell anybody what the outcome is. Imagine with all the technology we have, we don't know. Isn't that something? Because they've whisked all the ballots away someplace where you don't know where they're at. Isn't that weird? You know, you think how many elections America has had, all the technology we have, and they can't really let people know who voted? Something, friends, is really wrong. And again, there's no way around it. I don't know how you get around this.
There is no way around it, except for the fact that, look, we have time. I know a lot of people have been fasting and praying. And a lot of our listeners, and we've gotten a lot of emails and phone calls in regards to that. And there's been a lot of wonderful pastors who have encouraged everyone to fast and pray. I know that I got on a Zoom call with Preborn Ministries, Dan Steiner, Mike, who has been on his program before.
Yesterday.
It was wonderful, and it was just a time of, you know, pleading to the Lord for the case of America, and just laying and petitioning the Lord for the future. And it was beautiful to see so many people come together under the premise that we understand that the only way out of this is God. And it was eye-opening to hear so many different viewpoints on what's happening and what the potential outcome could be. But we do need to understand that God is on the throne. Regardless of who takes office, if we find out today, we find out in the next 3 weeks, God is on the throne. And even if we're in for a wild ride, regardless of who gets in, we need to understand that we still have a calling and we still have you know, the ability to be salt and light to the earth. And then instead of getting dismayed and depressed and thinking it's all over, we need to get out more than ever before and preach the gospel and be a witness and show our faith through action and minister to the hearts of the people. Because I guarantee you, Mike, especially, we know that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to suffer in one way or another, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, even spiritually, from what the outcome might be.
Amen. So let's go. Let's take a call. Let's go to Jana in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good. How may we help?
Yeah, just I want to give my insight about all these things going on. I'm from Venezuela.
Yes.
I came here to the state 10 years ago. And I can say that my people there in Venezuela is suffering a lot. They just were like blind about 20 years ago, 22 years ago about this Chavez. And but what I would like to say, this is a spiritual thing. When I saw my people, how they were apart from God. There was so much vanity, so much corruption and everything, that when that thing came, 10 years ago, God bring me here to United States. I was crying because I had a lot of business. I have 3 houses there. I have a huge bakery. And now, long story short, we bring our parents here. We have anything there. Just the house, keeping by the maid servants, that's it. But they have no gas, they have no food, they have almost anything. Now the currency is dollars because the bolivar is not worth it for anything.
Yeah.
They are suffering, but for me, this is a just judgment. It's exactly what we need here, really. Like, we are all, like, in our evil ways, like. But the good thing in Venezuela is they are looking now. They are seeking God. That's a good.
You know, Jana, real quick, we're coming up on a break, and I don't want to, I want to really talk to you a little bit more. But like you say, Venezuela, no gas, no food. Their dollars are worth nothing. Yes, that's the beautiful Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. Communism in action, went into a good functioning country and destroyed it. Coming up on a break, we'll have more. We'll be back right after this.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Florida. You can listen in Greenville, Tallahassee, Palm Beach, Jacksonville, Key West, and many more great cities throughout Florida and nationwide. A full station list is available at csnradio.com. This is CSN International, where God's word is heard.
A lifeline for those searching. This is CSN.
And we want to welcome you back to the second half of To Every Man an Answer here on this Election Tuesday. Once again, reminding you, if your polls are still open, go vote while you can. I think it's going to be really important. I think this is going to be a really close election, whether America goes communistic or whether it's going to remain a democracy. Again, Kamala Harris, latest commercial, basically saying this is going to be their premise, to bust everybody down to the same level so everybody can climb to the top together. It's pure communism, friends. It's pure socialism. It's what doesn't work because of this reason. Communism denies one big fact that the Bible states. The heart is desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? But communism doesn't say that. No, communism says that we're all good and we work together for the betterment of the good. The problem is, it's a lie. You see, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, you must be born again. You see, it's not an option, it's a requirement. Because something died in the garden that day when man rebelled. And what died in man was his heart. And man's been looking for it ever since. And man will look anywhere in the world for it. Look into drugs, look into all the things that shine in the world to find it. Only to find that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will drain the life right out of you. So I really believe that, again, when we look at this, the ideologies between the way we live in America and the way a true communist live, denying God, all people are really good, thus you don't really need to be born again, thus the gospel doesn't mean anything to a communist society. Well, this is why they go after churches and in China, lock the doors and then light the church on fire and burn the parishioners up inside the churches. Yeah, that was going on right before COVID-19 was released on the world. These are the problems that we have right now. And anybody that thinks a communist America is going to be a good thing, look at Portland, Oregon. There you go. Look at downtown Manhattan. There you go. Look at Minneapolis, St. Paul. Look at that right there. There's your Democrat people in action. Burn, baby, burn. And it's going to be everywhere, friends. So, yeah, we got some issues coming up. And looking at that. Shannon, do you have anything?
I do. We have an update from Breitbart News. It says DraftKings election poll, majority in 49 states predict Trump victory. So hopefully we really will have a red wave. On their website or on Facebook, when you look at the poll, it shows Colorado as the only one that is blue on their prediction for Biden. So we will see. Only time will tell.
Well, it's because Colorado's stoned.
That's, yeah. You know, I saw a meme that was really funny where Joe Biden has his hands like this and he's like, I voted Trump, you know, which wouldn't surprise me unless someone was holding his hand. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need 4 more years of grace. We need 4 more years of someone who fears God in some capacity to lead this nation. We're not electing a pastor. We're not electing someone who is of some spiritual official that we need to govern us and be the priest over our nation. We're electing a president. We're electing someone who we think has the same ideologies that we have, the same premise that God has put in our heart and instilled in our heart to vote for. Romans 1. Mike says it all the time. Read Romans 1. That's, you want to know how to vote? You read Romans 1. And Trump has done nothing but defend our civil and religious liberties and freedoms. Nonetheless, have evangelical coalitions, Bible studies now on Wednesday nights in the White House, defends Israel, defends the unborn. You know, he's the most pro-life president.
And stop mindless Islamic immigration to America. Now, what you have to remember about Islam, everyone, is that Islam, yes, is religion, but it's more than religion. It's global conquest. Mm-hmm. Now, the British Empire had a terrible time in the mid-1800s with Islam. It got so bad they couldn't fight him that when they would kill an Islamic person, they would wrap them in pigskin when they buried him, thereby denying them their admission into heaven according to Sharia and according to Sharia law and according to the Quran. That stopped them from doing it. They finally backed off. because of what how the British end up fighting them concerning this. Now, again, they're not here to assimilate into our society. They're here to overthrow your society. Yes, that's right. That's what jihad is. That's what it's all about, friends. And where they have gone, there is no freedom either. If you go to Saudi Arabia today, you take a Bible out on a street corner and just try to give them away, you'll be in prison for the rest of your life.
If not killed.
If not killed. And or beheaded, literally. This is the way it is in all of the Middle Eastern countries. And so when we understand that this is a problem. Now, you may be listening to this and you may be and call yourself a Muslim. And you may say, Mike, I don't believe that. I may completely agree with you. Because I run into so many Christians that don't know what they believe, yet they call themselves Christian. Less than 10% of Christians today have a biblical worldview. It's been skewed by the world. They become worldly. So this is one of our great problems that we have. And so understanding that, we need to be about our Father's business and really see what God will do in these days that we're in. Let's go back to the phones. We have David on the line, Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you guys. Appreciate it. We've got a question about sin, I guess, when Jesus said, all may be forgiven except the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember where he said that and what the context was, but my wife, we had a relative that committed sideways, we were told, a couple years ago, and when they had their service, the pastor said, you know, she's going to be in heaven. She was underage. She was a believer. I don't know what she was going through. And he said that, you know, to comfort my brother-in-law, and I believe that is the case, but my wife grew up being taught where that is a one-way ticket to hell. I was raised and being taught growing up in the church and reading the Bible that the opposite. I don't know what scriptures to point her to help us out, help her out, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I believe somebody that commits suicide is not in the right mind. And I know God is merciful when it comes to these kinds of things. However, the Bible also says that which is not faith is sin. And by killing yourself, you're denying faith in God. I believe suicide is an extreme question mark. We find Samson who pushed the pillars, and he knew that when he pushed those pillars, he would most likely die in the slaughter of the Philistines, and more were killed in that act when he pushed the pillars over in the pagan temple. He killed more in that instant than he did in his whole life, and yet we find in the book of Hebrews he's listed as a champion of faith. Amazing. After all he'd been through. But we also know that Saul, on the other hand, did not fare as well. And we remember Saul when he called up Samuel at the request of the witch at Endor. And he said, tomorrow you'll be in me, not with me. He didn't mean with me in paradise. He meant you'll be with me in the place of the grave. And we find no record anywhere of Saul going to heaven. And Saul is also one who killed himself. So when we look at this, I think we need to be very careful, David. I think there are those people who are mentally unstable that God's grace is extended to. I also believe those are sometimes in willful disobedience, rejecting that call of the Holy Spirit to repent and trust him. Your thoughts, Shannon?
I agree. I was thinking of Saul myself when you were answering that question before you got there, and even Judas, who killed himself. I think that there's a lot of conjecture, as Mike said. There's a lot of gray area with suicide. Sometimes people are sad and they are depressed and they don't know a way out. They don't have help, and so they end their life. And there's people who commit suicide who are under demonic oppression and possession or under the influence of drugs, whether they be illicit, recreational, or legal, that changes and alters the state of their mind. You know, I do believe that God knows the condition of the heart, and he knows the heart that we have for him. But when you do something like kill yourself, as Mike said, it shows a lack of faith. And so if you're truly saved, I would have to say that you would have some ability to make a cognitive decision to relinquish that and surrender it to the Lord in faith rather than take your life in your own hands. The Bible does say that God, gives life and takes away. And so I know that we get this question a lot, and a lot of people want us to be able to comfort them and give them a clear black and white answer. And I just don't think the answer is as black and white as we hope. And hopefully that does help to some extent, David. But, you know, when young ones, little 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds we see kill themselves because of bullying, I would hope in the depths of my heart that someone who is, you know, beyond that age or not at the age of accountability, that God is merciful for with them, and he understands the condition of their heart and maybe the condition that they were living in. But if we choose to live a life that is sinful and there's drugs involved, there's addiction involved, there's decisions we made that affect our mental capacity, I think that we have to suffer the consequences of our sin, and the consequences of sin is death in one way or another, Mike.
Amen. And, you know, the scripture I would give you, I think is the best, is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And starting in verse 8, it says, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that came to us while we were in Asia, that we were pressed beyond measure, and we despaired even of life." Now, I think a lot of times we all get that way, even as Christians. Paul said he did. He said, "We despaired even of life." That's suicidal, friends. But the rest of it goes on and says, "But these things happened that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." So I believe that in the course of a lifetime, we're all going to be challenged with many different thoughts. The Bible says to bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. And if we're doing that, we're not going to off ourselves. We're going to say, "Okay, God, you know, no trial lasts forever, and you're going to see me through this." And I believe that's what's really important. But I also know that there are people who are under demonic oppression. Certainly the man at Gadara who would cut himself and live in the tombs. This guy had a death wish. And yet Jesus healed him and cast the demons out. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "No, you stay here and tell them the great things that God has done for you." So I look at that and I just simply realize that we all have thoughts, but we all have to bring them captive to the mind of Christ. But to automatically say, "Oh, a person committed suicide, they automatically went to hell." Or on the other hand, to say, "Oh, they're in heaven, don't worry about it." Neither of those things, honestly, can a person truly say. You will not find that in the Bible. That is conjecture. And unfortunately, I know many ministers give their parishioners false hope when they are doing a service, or even sometimes in teaching, they will say things like, "Oh, if a person commits themselves, commits suicide, they're going to heaven." Nope, the Bible doesn't say that. And I want to be real careful putting words into God's mouth. But the Bible also doesn't say that any person that commits suicide automatically goes to hell either. But one thing I will tell you, I have chosen to live my life, and when I teach, tell people, don't live your life in a question mark. Live where God's promises are, and you'll be blessed. Hope that helps, David.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think it'll be helpful to you. And also a little book called Time to Grow. That'll be a little bit of a blessing to you. Answer some more of these questions. Let's go to Beth. High Desert, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. How may we help?
I had an experience in the emergency room today. I need advice on how I should have handled it. I didn't handle it at all. I just left the emergency room, and I was there for medical reasons for myself. But there was an old man that came in. He was probably in his mid-80s. And I have to caveat this. There was a young man that came in right before him, and he had split open his two center fingers to the bone. Oh. And they had taken him back and wrapped it in gauze and told him to elevate it. So he was sitting there, and the blood was seeping through the gauze pad and starting to run down his arm. And then I noticed this old man sitting there that they had brought in. And time started to elapse, about a half hour. That young man was still sitting there with this gauze full of blood on his fingers. And this old man was sitting in his wheelchair shaking. And this woman went up to the people at the desk and said, "Can this old man have a blanket? I mean, he's old and he's cold." And they said, no, we don't give out blankets. It's against, because of COVID, we can't do that. Well, I found myself upon hearing that, I got really sad and tears started to well in my eyes. And then my sadness started to turn into anger. And I realized at that moment, once I started getting angry, that I had to leave that emergency room because I was going to say something that I had no right to say to anyone because of their lack of compassion. And it's like I sat there and I said, I am witnessing socialized medicine at its finest.
Yep, that's what it is. And it just goes on. Your thoughts, Shannon?
Well, we appreciate you calling and wanting advice. I think advice changes circumstantially with who's sitting in the chair in the emergency room. I know that I don't take lightly to people being mistreated or abused or neglected, whether it's in friendships and personal life or whether it's me going to get a burger at In-N-Out and seeing someone abuse their child. So I understand why you got very emotional and then left, because I've done the same thing. There's been times I've been in circumstances like that where my first reaction is to have a broken heart, and my second reaction is to get into my flesh and go address the person. And I think that that's where, Beth, we need to let the Holy Spirit take the lead and subdue our flesh and pray. Because when we react out of anger or emotion, we don't think with the mind that God wants us to think with our thoughts being above our flesh. We tend to submit to the will of our flesh, and we don't think clearly, and we can subsequently do damage to ourselves or maybe even that other person. So I think you removing yourself from that situation was a good thing, and not addressing it maybe how you wanted to out of anger. Praying definitely during that time would also be a good thing. You know, I can't say that I would have handled it any different. I know that there's been times I've seen situations I've gotten someone a blanket, or I've got confrontational with people, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm human. And there's ways that I could have addressed it better. But I think the best default is to always go back, stop, and pray for wisdom and discernment in a situation, because you don't know what that outcome can be. And so God knows, and He also answers prayer. And so that would be my suggestion. I don't think you did anything wrong. I think that you did the right thing, but just to testimony of myself, praying always will get you out of a bad situation and prevent you from doing something out of anger or just emotion. Our heart lies to us. So, Mike.
Amen. And if I'd have been there, I'd probably given him my shirt or whatever clothes I had to cover over with. It is sad. I think all of us have seen terrible things in the medical field right now. I know a lady here in Twin Falls. She died of pneumonia, but they wrote down on her death certificate COVID, but she didn't have COVID because she just had a test. And she was around her entire family right up to the time that she died, and none of them got COVID. So, but this is the problems that we're finding right now, because hospitals get money for the COVID patients, but for those that split their fingers or that are just cold in a wheelchair, there's not a lot of money flowing in on that. Because it's all about money. See, that's the problem. And this is one of the great problems that you have when the government controls everything, because it's all about the deal. And we've got to be very careful with that, because, there's very little the government can ever do that the private sector cannot do better. And you give people bad service, as an example, in a private in the private sector, people aren't going to come back to your hospital. But when the government controls everything, well, then you're just at their mercy, whatever they want to do to you.
Well, it shows you that the lack of emotion that our medical professionals have, that, you know, you normally get into the medical profession to serve and to help, to heal, you know, to take care of people. And because of the Obamacare, it all started. There seemed to be this sway in the way that practitioners started dealing with patients where they're so emotionally removed. And that's what socialized medicine does. It causes them to work harder for less money. And I'm sorry, everybody, money makes the world go round. And when you remove the quality of life and you burn people out, you become emotionally distant. And I think what you witnessed is a complete inability for anybody to have any emotion towards that old man, nonetheless the person bleeding everywhere. And we do need to pray for the condition of people and the hearts that we have towards one another. This is the same heart that allows us to murder the unborn.
Yeah. And this is one of the great problems that we have. Beth, our heart goes out to you. You know, sometimes I think when we're in certain situations, all we can do is pray. But that's really the most powerful thing we can do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look at it as a last resort, when in reality, it's the first resort. That's what we should do.
Amen.
Is pray, because that helps us get our feelings under control, helps us bite our tongue so we won't say things that we would regret later, and actually be more effective in fixing the problem because we are under control rather than not. And I know when I get in the flesh and I get mad at whatever it might be, I know I'm not functioning the way I'm supposed to be. It's time to take a chill pill and pray and let God realign your purposes with His. And however we can do it to help one another, I think that's what we need to do. I think that again, Beth, I appreciate your concern. How we handle it sometimes, I think we just have to be led by the Spirit. Beth, I hope that helps.
It does help. I really appreciate both of your input. May God bless both of you. May God truly watch over and bless this nation.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I don't know, do you have a website or a place where I can send you a poem I found in a very old book that is one of the most prevalent poems written from probably the mid-1800s by Charles McCrae, and it's entitled If I Had a Voice. Mm. Google it.
Okay.
See if you can pull it up. Yes. It's absolutely incredible and so prevalent today.
Amen. Well, good, Beth. Thank you, we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, give your information to the gentleman who got you on the call, and hopefully you can send it to us. But we definitely will Google it.
Amen. Beth, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Want to thank you again for calling. Let's go to Jim, Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Thanks very much. You guys are my life support. Just thought I would give you an encouragement at the end of the program. Because a lot of times you're dealing with a lot of negative information, we're coming into end times, globalization, all these different things. And I think it's always good to have a little reset at the end of every program would be my encouragement. I'm going to encourage Dan Markell to do the same thing, because sometimes I don't listen to her just because I get so down in realizing all the things that are happening. And I think it's good to have a perspective. And I was thinking about Psalm 46, God is our refuge, our very present help in trouble. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its own pride. And I was thinking about Esther and Mordecai. I heard a good message on that the other day. And it was amazing how the Lord turned events on that for that nation at that time. And think about the fact that even though the Lord did do an amazing miracle, it still took full courage, and it took Esther and Mordecai putting their lives on the line. So it wasn't just a done deal. Oh, let's just, you know, an apathetic approach. Just let the Lord take care of everything. It takes us being fully engaged, doing what we can do today is, you know, today to vote. If we haven't voted already, I've already voted. Make sure that we do. But it also should give us hope that even though we're in the end times, we know we're hurtling toward a one world government. We know where all these things are happening. The Lord can stop those things and look back at history. For example, World War One. I'm sure the world did not look very good at World War One for Christians at that time. The flu pandemic, 500,000 people died out of 130 million. The rise of communism in Russia. World War Two, you know, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And even as recently as 2016, we all knew what was going on. Most of us did that were believers. And look how the Lord turned that situation around. And so my encouragement to the body of Christ is, to stay positive, to stay hopeful in spite of all these things and continue to fight on. And every day I pray Isaiah 28:14-19 against all of our enemies, especially the people who are intent on evil and intent on bringing all these terrible things. Matter of fact, I started praying that 10 days before the 2016 election, and that was the very day that Comey announced that he was reopening the investigation of Hillary Clinton, which I believe turned the election. And Isaiah 54:11-17, I pray on behalf of President Trump and the body of Christ every day. It's a very powerful passage. It talks about, you know, those that speak against us, the Lord will vindicate us. And you might check that out. But anyway,
well, you know, all the way through, you know, Jim, people, just very quickly, all the way through the Bible, you know, God has always intervened. And just like you say, with in the book of Esther, that for such a time as this, for all of us, that we've got to stand up and be about our Father's business. I don't think Shannon, myself, the people we have here on CSN are doomist, but I think a lot of times we want to encourage Christians to wake up because the hour is so late. And if people go, oh, it's just going to go on like it's always gone on, I'll just go back to sleep and eat my corn chips. That's a problem, because we need to be about our Father's business more now than any other time. And again, rendering to Caesar what Caesar? Well, you get to vote who Caesar is. So I pray every one of you, while you still can, if you're in one of the open states, do that. Jim, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, couple of DVDs. When we come back, we'll have more to Every Man an Answer right after this. We'll be right back.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi friends, Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls. The Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part three of To Every Man an Answer here on Election Tuesday with Shannon Skolton. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Shannon hosts a program on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock Mountain Time on Voice of Truth, and she's interviewing different people. Who is on this week?
This week we have David Clausen from the Family Research Council. He's the gentleman who writes all the amazing books to help us as Americans and evangelicals know how to vote, or biblically where we stand on abortion, or where we should stand on the LGBTQ community. All those wonderful things that cause such confusion in the evangelical circles and the church. And he clears it all up by going back to biblical principles and allowing us to have a biblical worldview. So he's coming up this Sunday. It's an amazing program, very articulate. Man who has, you know, studied theology and went to seminary, but has a passion for changing the world through government and doing it biblically. So he will be on this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, so I look forward to that. Last week was General Boykin.
General Boykin.
Four-star retired general, explaining how America is in a civil war.
You know, Mike, you said it perfectly before we went to the break in regards to people think that you and I maybe per se as CSN programs are doom and gloom and negative, but our calling is really, again, to be the voice that the churches don't have behind the pulpit. We try to call out all the inadequacies, maybe of the church, maybe things that you don't hear on Sunday morning, and help clarify things that people really are confused on. Some will say, be saved by love, being gracious and very gentle, and some need to be saved by hellfire. And sometimes we've got to stir the pot and wake America up to understand the ramifications of what's at stake. And General Boykin, a man of God, loves the Lord, really passionate about men's ministry, really passionate about government and protecting our nation and its rights, has those same feelings, has the same zeal that we have, and he does it from his stance as a four-star general, getting America to wake up that the time is now to not be complacent in our spirituality, to not be asleep behind the wheel, but to do what God has called us to do as disciples for him.
Amen. Our previous caller, when we went to the break, Jim, gave us this little message. I'll just read it from 2 Thessalonians. It says, as long as the church is still present, there's still hope. Not saying that we're taking the credit, but the Lord is using us. This is the test for this generation. I believe that. Jim, thanks so much for the call. Let's go back to the phones. We have Frank on the line, Marina, California. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I was going to tell you, my father, he passed away already a few years ago, but he was trying to get us a citizen, to become a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
He had to memorize a lot of different things, you know, like the laws, you know, and the,
yes, absolutely,
everything, you know. And I used to quiz him, and he told me, if I don't pass the test, I won't be a citizen, and I won't be a citizen of the United States. Well, Lord and behold, he made it, you
wow.
know. And the vice president that's running against Trump said, I want to make everybody a citizen. If you're not citizens, I will make you citizen of America. So, you know, I just see how far we've come already, you know. My father had to pass that test before he became a citizen.
Yeah, see, this is what you keep hearing from the previous administration, the Obama administration. Our broken immigration system. Friends, our immigration system was not broken. It was the federal government's complete and total failure to enforce the laws. And to become an American citizen, just as you said, Frank, you had to memorize the Constitution. You had to understand how we became a country. Not just that I can break into a country and get free welfare, and anybody that just breathes in the United States is now a citizen. Kamala Harris is, anybody that would say that hates America and hates every single person who got here legally. That's really bad. When somebody will honor those who stole and broke into our country and award them with citizenship when they really should be deported. That's the bottom line. Think of the people around the world that really want to come into our country legally. They're bumped out of the line because we have the illegal people flooding our borders. No, Obama was lying when he told everybody our broken immigration system. Our immigration system was never broken. It was their complete, total rejection to enforce the laws. Well, why would they do that? Because their votes. We're going to get votes wherever. We'll buy votes. We'll import people. We'll let felons vote. We'll let people who have been dead for 20 years vote. Because all that matters is that you're a warm body. Friends, that is not what our forefathers had in mind. And remember, when we understand that this kind of behavior is only to overthrow your government, once they're in control, friends, they're going to take away your guns, your kids, your schools, everything. Everything will be for them, and you will never get it back. Like I said, communism, the Kamala Harris brand, you voted in, you have to shoot your way out of it. Very serious. And I believe, again, you say, oh, they're not like that. Really? Then would you, somebody explain to me why Portland burns? Would you explain to me why over 6 miles of Minneapolis, St. Paul burned to the ground? Would you explain to me how Lower Manhattan is now a ghost town and will never recover? All Democratic states, all Democratic mayors. And as they watch this go on, why would anybody vote for these kind of people? Not one person, I believe, in California, Oregon, or Washington should be voting Democrat. Haven't you had enough yet? Are you still drinking the poison? Don't you realize it's these clowns you vote in are doing this to your state? Isn't it time you wake up and smell the coffee and say, wait a minute, why is everybody leaving California? Because it's a communist state. People that don't work are now more taken care of than the people at work. All the people at work do there. I talked to a man today, made campers for vehicles in California. And I was talking to him and I said, well, I can come down, pick it up. And we start talking a little bit. And he said, oh, you are one that escaped from the fallen planet. And I said, yes, I used to live in California. It was crazy then. It is insane now. He said, I don't know what's going to happen to us. He said, because we're going to have to move our business out of this state. You know, it'd be really amazing that people finally in California say, we're sick of the drug dealers. We're sick of all the filth and corruption in our government. We're sick of pedophilia laws that protect pedophilia people and prey upon our children. Yeah, you'd think you'd come to your senses and say, we've been voting wrong here. I don't see how we're better off. But no, they keep voting insane. Maybe this election, I'm pulling for you, California. From a former surfer California kid, I'm saying, wake up and don't let him continue to do this to your state. You know, the rest of the nation is not shut down like you are. The rest of the, you know, it's, you got to wear your mask. We get your mask on. And we want to tell your neighbors to rat you out if you don't have your mask on. Yeah. But meanwhile, two blocks over, you can riot in the streets and it's all right. You think this is normal? It's how you're voting. Stop being stupid and vote with some common sense. Well, where do I get common sense from? Well, you go down to the local store. I'll take 10 pounds of common sense. No, you go to the Bible. Romans chapter 1. Read Romans chapter 1. If anybody's listening, I don't know how to vote. I don't want to vote. Read Romans chapter 1. Which party is against the things that God says he will destroy a nation over? And what party is for the things that they're saying, this is what our party stands for, that God judges. It's up to you. Romans chapter 1 is the best voting guide in the world. Frank, I hope that helps.
Well, Mike, I already voted. I voted for Trump.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And I pray your friends do too, because, again, Kamala Harris, that commercial, she's a Marxist. She's a communist. And you don't put stuff out like that, that we're going to bust America down to zero so everybody gets a fair shot. Hey, America's the only place in the world. You're not born into a caste society. Any person here today, you can go out and you can do something. This idea that oh, everybody's in a different place. Of course we are. We always will be. And there's no nation on earth that isn't like that, even in the Communist Party. But at least in America, you can make something out of your life if you want to. Now, if you want to sit around stoned all day long, living on welfare with needles hanging out of your arms, well, yeah, maybe you're not going to do too well. But if you want to take some gumption, I believe you can. There's a lot of opportunity, and even more for a Christian, to get the gospel out. Frank, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
God bless you. Thanks for voting. Let's go to Mick. Oh, no, excuse me. Rock in Pony, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. Appreciate it. I remember the gentleman yesterday, and I appreciate all your cares and concerns and comments and prayers for everybody.
Amen.
The gentleman that, anyway, I took up on that since I heard that, I'm fasting and praying.
Me too.
Yeah, so that's just hope you're holding, true to God's word, and I know you do, and that's why I listen all the chances I get.
Rock 'em,
so we'll live through whatever. We, like you said, the hand up.
hey, listen. You know, I believe that we're basically indestructible till our testimony is completed. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's those two prophets that come back in the streets of Jerusalem, warning the world to repent, and they try killing them all the time, but until their testimony is done, they can't touch them. And I believe that's the same way based upon the book of Job. The devil couldn't do whatever he wanted to do to Job, only what God allowed him to do. And I believe that we as Christians are indestructible till God's done with us. So arm up, everyone. We're part of the indestructible crowd. Isn't that great to know? So
wonderful to know.
So, Rock, God bless you. Thanks so much for the status and everybody that is praying and fasting. We want to be about our Father's business. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and thanks so much for listening. Let's go to Mick. Mesa, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. How are you guys today? I'm going to listen to you every day.
Well, we're glad you're listening, and how may we help?
Well, I had a question on oppression of Christians by demon spirits and deliverance ministries. Knowing that, the victory was on the cross through Christ, and the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. How is one Christian to approach a deliverance ministry to help other Christians who are oppressed?
Shannon, your thoughts.
I think that getting involved in deliverance ministries is extremely important. I think that operating under the full counsel of God and really diving into the things of the spiritual is something that specifically a lot of believers just don't do. I don't think they understand their place in the kingdom and the ability that the Holy Spirit has given us to trample on scorpions and serpents in his name. We have that power through the Holy Spirit, and I think we need to understand that and take grasp of that. And not just think that it's just for some people and not for others, that we all have that same power. And so I would encourage you just to go. First, you need to vet the deliverance ministry. A lot of them can be a little bit kooky. And knowing doctrine and knowing what the Bible says is also extremely important to make sure you don't get into something that's a little bit weird. There are a lot of really ultra Pentecostal movements out there that...
The demon of chocolate.
Yes, the demon of chocolate. I mean, there's a lot of ministries that have great intentions, but they hyper-spiritualize everything, and then there's those ministries that don't believe in the Holy Spirit or demonic oppression or possession at all. And so finding one that understands that we are in a spiritual battle and knowing how to combat it through prayer and fasting is extremely important. I know that the ministry God gave me from a very, very, very young age was dealing with demonic oppression and possession. I was encountered a very unfortunate things at a very young age as a young girl that really built my faith in the Lord and allowed me to understand the power I have in him through the Holy Spirit to be used for him. And so that provoked me to get involved in deliverance ministries. And so you just need to go about it by understanding that there's some churches that have the right intention, but they're going about it the wrong way, and finding one that is biblically grounded and that has, you know, good exegesis of scripture, line by line, verse by verse, but operates in the spirit is few and far between, but they're out there. And just praying and fasting and asking God what your part in that is, making sure that you're spiritually right and that you have the strength to deal with the spiritual exhaustion that comes with deliverance, because sometimes it's not as easy as just saying, you know, be gone. Sometimes things take a very long time to lift off of people, and people need to be willing to have those spirits and oppression removed. You can't remove anything unless they're willing. And so just be prayed up, be in your word, get the strength from the Lord, and the Lord will lead you in exactly what you're supposed to do in that ministry.
Yes. And Mick, again, I think a lot of times, you know, trying to, you know, be a demon hunter, I think a lot of times we don't have to do that. You just preach the gospel, you be about your Father's business, and God will bring those people to you that need deliverance. We want to remember some come out only by prayer and by fasting, mm-hmm. according to the gospel. We want to be mindful that I'm not there to take long conversation. You know, how many demons are there? How many, you know, what's your name? How old are you? What's your zip code? You know, I mean, we're not there to do that. We're there to say, in the name of Jesus, leave. And I know that a lot of times I've read some of these books on, you know, deliverance ministries, and they carry on long conversations with the demons.
That's not needed.
No, you, in the name of Jesus, go. And this, for all of us that are Christians, is the authority of the believer.
Absolutely.
God, the Bible says, Luke tells us in Acts, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So again, we have to take that spiritual authority that God gives us as his child and be about our Father's business. But again, we don't want to be like the vagabond exorcist Jews that were going about, you know, trying to cast out demons out of people. We remember they came across a guy that was really possessed, and they said, the Jesus that Paul preaches, we adjure you, demon. And these seven sons of Sceva, they said that, and the man who's possessed said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible says he leaped on these seven dudes, tore off all their clothes, and the last we find in the Bible, they're still running. So pretty serious to have that authority, but that's the authority that we have in Jesus Christ, because he gives us his spirit. Mick, I hope that helps.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Stay online. I'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. It covers a little bit of this, and I think you'll enjoy that, as well as the DVDs and the other books. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Virgil, Olympia, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastor Mike. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Okay. I have a question for you. What does it say, what does it mean in Psalm 91:1, where it states, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? My question, particularly the part that I would like some comment on, is what does it mean, he who dwells in the secret place? And if I may, before you answer that, I love your program, long-time listener. And I commend you, Pastor Mike, as I have before. I called you a couple of times. And I absolutely love your program, and for you having the cojones, if you will, to say it like it is, the true Christian way, saying it like it is. And this is what I'm going to share with you. I think that there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people out there in radio land, some people that call themselves Christians, that they don't realize the impact of when they vote, what really, really, really it is pertaining to biblical principles. Mm-hmm. And this is what I am going to say concerning that. I was in law enforcement for 39 years of my life. I retired about 10 years ago. And, you know, I have a little bit idea of how the law works in different states. I worked in a couple different states, retired 8 years ago. But anyway, 10 years ago, I'm sorry. But the point being is this. When we vote for the Democrats, especially in high office, all Democrats who are for abortion, that most people don't really realize what they're doing. They're enhancing the idea of killing people, killing young kids, children, innocent children. How can you do that? Let's say, Mike, you and I decide we're pagan people, and we decide you're not going to go rob a bank. You're going to drive the getaway car. I'm going to drive the getaway car, and you're going to go in with a gun. You go in with a gun, somehow they catch you, and I realize you're not coming out, so I escape. I think I've gotten off free. Well, later on, pretty soon they find out that actually I was involved in two. They come and arrest me, too. When we go to trial, they find you guilty because you went with a gun. They have you on camera, and they captured you. And me, I go in with the defense, and a sharp attorney says, hey, no, I'm not guilty. You know what? I never went inside with a gun or nothing like that. The law, man's law, will find me guilty as yes. you went with a gun. The same principle applies to people who vote for Democrats who support abortion and all of the things that are unbiblical. When we vote for Democrats, we're saying, hey, it's all right for you to go do that. I support you, you know, because and you, even though you're for abortion. We're as guilty as the abortion doctor and the politicians who are enhancing this. How do you think people out in Radio Land, God sees this. He sees it. He's going to deal with us harshly. I don't want to be guilty like that and have blood, innocent blood on my hands. Enough said.
Amen. And these people think, well, I'm just driving the getaway car. I'm not guilty. No, you're part of it. And we need to be very careful. Now, you asked the question on Psalms 91. And I'll just read it. Psalms 91 is probably my favorite psalm. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a place in Jesus where we as believers can live. Now, because of that, that would then cause me to ask another question. Where are you living? Where is people living that are listening to this today? If there's a place, he who dwells or lives in the secret place of the Most High, it's not secret to God, and it's not secret to me. But it might be secret to everybody else, because there's a place where we can go to be nourished and be rebuilt and be encouraged. We need that in our life. And it says, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means that wherever I go, the shadow of God is on our lives. I would have to ask the question, where, all of us that are listening today, where are you living? Are you living under the shadow of the Almighty? Are you living in that secret place of the Lord? Or are you living out in the cold? Are you living out in the lies? Are you living out in the false bill of goods that the devil sells, oftentimes many even Christians? But no, when we understand this, I believe that there is this, and we can say truly, as it says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Your thoughts?
Well, I was looking at the Interlinear Bible while you were talking, and that in secret little phrase there also can mean a covering. And so, you know, to abide in the covering of the Lord, you know, we know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and we abide and we dwell in that protection that we have in him. And we need to understand that as well, that like Mike said, where do you dwell? Where do you live? What understanding do you have of your relationship with the Lord? Abiding and dwelling with him is a very intimate thing. You're living with him. You're communing with him daily, weekly, monthly, hourly. So that implies that there's a sense of intimacy and understanding the covering that we have in him, Mike.
Amen. So being about our Father's business, doing what God calls us to do, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, our Father, which art in heaven. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to relate to him as a child to a loving father? Cults don't do this. Cults always have you on your edge of your seat. You never know if you've done enough good works. You never know if you've given enough money. You never know if you've jumped through enough hoops or dotted enough I's or crossed enough T's. And so they always keep you guessing. And so you'll ask somebody in a cult, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they'll say, well, I've done the best I can. You see, they don't have a father in heaven because they're still trying to approach God through their works. But this is why Jesus died on the cross. He paid it all for you and me, so we can then be adopted. And as Paul the Apostle says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy. That's the relationship. Cults never offer you that. It's always, you got to get sealed in the temple. You got to wear undergarments. You got to give all your money. You got to go door to door. You got to sell flowers in airports and wax your dog. You see, they have all these things that you got to do where that is not what the Bible says. We come to him and we cry, Abba, Father. Hope that helps, Virgil, and being about our Father's business. So glad you listen. And we're all out of time, Shannon.
Yeah, we are. It went quick.
It does. It always does. Once again, want to encourage you, if you haven't voted, go vote. So important, especially on the West Coast states. Your vote is extremely needed to stop the lunacy and the burning of your cities, too. Anyway, we'll look forward to being back with you tomorrow. Jeremy, the rest, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing. So until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Watch over you. Check us out, Facebook, to Every Man an Answer. A lot of good stuff there. Till then, God bless you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.